We're going to read some scripture and then we're going to pray. And the first scripture we're going to read is in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. The Lord is good, isn't He? Amen. All the time. He is so faithful. His word is faithful. He is a God of truth. And if you learn to apply the word of God to your life, let God's word take root like a seed in your life and then begin to grow, it's an awesome thing. Amen? Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, and the reason she was hiding him is because Pharaoh had issued an order that all male children born to the Hebrews, the Hebrews were slaves in the land of Egypt, but they were beginning to outnumber the Egyptians. So in order to control the population, the Hebrew population in Egypt, Pharaoh gave an order that all male children were to be killed. And when this child was born, having the heart of a mama, having the heart of a mother, she just loved that baby, and she just could not fulfill that command to kill that child. So she hid him. But when she could no longer hide him, it's hard to hide a baby. Amen. People knew she was pregnant, and all of a sudden she wasn't pregnant. People wondered where the baby was. Did you kill the baby? What happened to the baby? People hear babies cry. She just could not keep up this. She just couldn't keep it up. So when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, or reeds, and she daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and she put the child in it, and she laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. She laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. Now, let me read this next verse, Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked alongside the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maids to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" So I want to talk about the man who had two mothers. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word today. We thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for our moms. We thank you for this special day. And I ask you to bless our families, bless our mothers here today. I pray they have a blessed day, a good day, that they feel the love of their families on this day. And I thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. How many great-great-grandmothers, if you are a great-great-grandmother, would you stand up? And you might need some help if you're a great-great-grandmother. Okay, we don't have it. Do we have any great grandmothers? If you're a great grandmother, would you stand up? Amen. Stay standing. Stay standing. If you can. Do we have any grandmothers? Amen. And now would all our mothers stand? Let's give them a big hand clap. Amen. We honor you, Mom. We honor our moms today. You know, moms, moms have taught us so much, have been so good to us. I hope you gave your mom a nice gift today, because she deserves something nice. So maybe you plan to do something nice for Mom. There were these three sons that got together and decided to get their mom a really outstanding Mother's Day gift. All three sons were very successful, so they could really give her a nice gift. And one of the sons went out and bought her a brand new Mercedes, just really nice. The other son, trying to outdo him, went out and bought her a brand new home. I mean, gorgeous, like a mansion, just beautiful home. And the other son wanted to do something not so materialistic, but wanted to do something unique. So he went and found this special talking bird, and he taught this bird to quote the entire Word of God, and that you could just name the verse and that bird could quote that verse. And so they gave their moms the gift, and then they saw her later, and she went to her first son. She said, "You know, son, I appreciate that car, but I don't need a car like that. I don't drive that much. I appreciate the thought. I appreciate your heart, but I just don't really need that car." Then she went to the second son, and she said, "Son, I don't need a house that big. I can't clean that house. I don't want to fool with it. I mean, keeping it up, I'm just me, and I just don't need a house like that." And she went to the third son, and she said, "Son, I want you to know that's the best chicken I ever ate." You know, moms have taught us a lot of wonderful things. I'm going to read you some of the things that mom have taught us. They taught us all about logic. When they said, "Because I said so, that's why." They taught us to appreciate a job well done when they said, "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I'll finish cleaning up later." Our moms taught us about religion when they said, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet." They even taught us about time travel when they said, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week." They taught us about foresight when they said, "Make sure you got clean underwear on in case you're in an accident." They taught us about irony. "You keep crying or I'll give you something to cry about." They taught us all about contortionism when they said, "Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck?" They taught us about how to solve physics problems. "If I yelled because I saw a meteor coming towards you, would you listen then?" Or hypocrisy. "If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate." They taught us about the circle of life. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." They taught us about medicine. "If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way." They taught us about how to meet a challenge. "What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me." Or they taught us about humor. "You know, when the lawnmower cuts off your feet, don't come running to me." Or they taught us about genetics. "You're just like your father." So mom's taught us a lot of wonderful things. We're thankful for mom and all the things that she did for us. The first thing I want to talk about this morning in these two moms, one was the name Joshebed. The other was a princess. We don't know her name. She was a daughter of Pharaoh. The first thing I want to say about these two women is that they chose life. They chose life for their son. This first mother Jochebed, I want you to know something. Moses was born into a culture of death. They were killing babies. It was common. Moses was born into a culture of death. Exodus 1, verse 22 says, "So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" Imagine living in a time like that. Imagine living in a culture of death. Jochebed decided she would choose life. Jochebed was a godly woman, and she decided she would do the godly thing. Her orders were to kill him, but she chose life. Pharaoh's daughter did the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Jochebed hid the child because she was not afraid of the king's commandment. Jochebed decided in her heart as a mother, "I'm going to do what's right in the sight of God. Not what's right in the sight of society or the sight of the culture that I'm living in, but what is right in the sight of God." She couldn't kill him, but she couldn't keep him. So she came up with this plan, and she, think of this, moms, she took this precious little baby, 3 months old, and built an ark, a little boat out of reeds. She put pitch and asphalt on it so it wouldn't sink. It would be floatable. And she set him floating on the river and prayed over him. Miriam, the sister, followed the little ark down the river, watching her little brother float away. Imagine that mom weeping, standing there on that shore as she cried as she watched that baby go down that river. That's not something she wanted to do, but she was desperately trying to save this baby's life, praying every prayer that maybe somehow he would still live. And then the second mother, the princess of Egypt, was down by the river bathing, and she looked up, and there was this funny-looking little boat, and she wondered what it was, and they went and retrieved it, and look at what was in that little boat, the sweetest little baby. And the Bible says that the prince's heart was moved with compassion. Folks, I'm going to tell y'all something. God is awesome. You don't think his hand wasn't on that little boat? You don't think his hand wasn't on that little ark? He knew what was in that boat. He had a plan for that baby's life. You listen to me. God has a plan for your children. God has a plan for your children. And you have to trust God with that plan, and you have to trust God with those children. And God so orchestrated it. He knew Jochebed loved him, but God orchestrated it in a way that Moses would have two moms, and both moms would choose to give him life. The princess knew what her dad's order was. She decided, because she had compassion on him, a pagan princess living in a culture of death. She knew this baby was supposed to die, but she chose life. We're living in a culture of death ourselves. We're living in a time when life is not valued. There's about 50 million abortions every year. That's about 125,000 every day. Every day that passes, 125,000 babies are aborted. Since 1980, 1.5 billion, with a B, billion. Since 1980, 1.5 billion children have been murdered and aborted. There's many things that, you know, the Bible says God ordains life. You think of, out of the 1.5 billion babies that have been aborted, what we have lost that would have contributed to our world, to mankind, but they're gone. Now, I want to say something. I personally believe abortion is one of the most hideous, horrible things. I do. And it grieves my heart. It breaks my heart, the thought of it. And I applaud the state of Iowa. And I have a son that lives in Iowa, but I applaud the state of Iowa. They just passed a heartbeat law that if there's a heartbeat detected, you cannot abort that baby. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. That's a beginning. Every state in the union ought to pass that law. Now, I personally believe life begins at the time of conception. But we live in a culture of death where life is not valued. And because of abortion, because life is not valued, you know what's happening in our society? All life is not valued. We don't value our elderly. We don't value life. We've cheapened it. I want to say this, because I don't know everybody in here. I don't know everything about your past, and I don't know everything you've been through. And I want to say something from the bottom of my heart. If you're here by some chance and you ever had an abortion, I want you to know we love you. And I want you to know God forgives. And God loves. Amen. And that He's a great healer. And I mean that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I hate it happened. But I want you to know God loves you. And there's forgiveness for that. But these ladies chose life at a time when it wasn't easy. And we need to choose life. We need to choose life. The other thing they chose to give him love. Moms, you love your kids, don't you? Yeah. But there are those days. The woman had three sons and they were absolutely holy terrors. All three of them. Somebody asked her one time, if you had it to do over again, would you do it? She said, oh yeah, just not the same three ones. You got to love children. The following statements are from the Bible. They were written by children. They've not been retouched or corrected at all. This was written by children about the Bible. One child wrote, the seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery. A Christian should have only one spouse. It's called monotony. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire at night. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea where they made unleavened bread, which is bread without any ingredients. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. Moses died before he ever reached Texas. Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. David was a Hebrew king skilled at playing the lyre. He fought with the Finkelsteins, a race of people who lived in biblical times. Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. You gotta love kids. Just adore them. They can touch your heart in special ways. God can speak the truth through them if you're listening. As children see things in a special, unique way. I think that's a lot of why God said we need to be like children. I'll never forget one time I was playing with Lauren, my granddaughter, and I was throwing her up, and she was laughing and giggling, and I'd throw her up, and I'd catch her, throw her up, and I'd catch her, and she was just laughing, and I said, Lauren, that don't scare you? And she said, no, Grandpa. And I said, why? She said, because I trust you. Boy, big old tears welled up in my eyes. That hit me right here. I trust you, Grandpa. I trust you. Our children look to us to love them, to teach them love. Jochebed risked her life And the princess risked the wrath of her father because of love. The love of a mother is an amazing thing. There was a story that a mother in Wales was trying to get home, and she was walking, got caught in a blizzard. And the blizzard got worse and worse, and it became evident that she was not going to make it home. And she didn't. They went out the next day trying to find her in the snow. And they finally did. And when they found her, they found that her body was completely naked. She had taken off all her clothes and wrapped that baby that she was carrying in all those clothes and then laid over his body. They found her frozen to death, but the baby was fine. That's the kind of thing a mama does. That's the kind of thing a mama does. The love of a mother is an extraordinary thing. One little boy was asked if he had a piece of pie and his family was dividing it into 7 pieces for the family, what would be his share? What would be his share of the 7 pieces of pie? And she was trying to teach fractions, and he said, it would be 1/6 of the pie. And she said, no, I said divide it into 7. You're not understanding your fractions. And he said, you don't understand my mother. My mother would have said she didn't want a piece. We've all seen moms make those kinds of special sacrifices that moms make because they love. Jochebed loved that little baby. And she gave that baby to God, and she let him go. And Miriam ran down the river watching. Guess what? When the princess brought the baby up and she decided it was obvious she was drawn to the baby and she wasn't going to kill the baby, Miriam stepped forward and said, I know someone who can nurse the child. I know a Hebrew woman who can take care of this baby. You tell me God ain't good. Tell me God ain't good. Can you imagine the heart of Jochebed when they came running back and she got her baby back? Oh, glory. Glory. Not only did she get to nurse the baby, but she got to teach him. She got to teach him and to help train him. So, these moms loved. The Bible says in Isaiah 66:13, as one whom a mother's comfort, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You know what this is? This is God saying, listen to this. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. There's another place in Isaiah where he compares his love to that of a mother. Do you hear that? God is comparing his love to the love of a mother. That's amazing. Because God put that, mom, God put that in you. God put that, and only moms can have that special kind of love. It takes a special kind of love. There's just something about, dads love their kids. But there's something about the love of a mother that's a bond, that's so strong. And both of these women loved little Moses. In fact, it was the princess who named him. The name Moses means drawn out. She named him Moses because he was drawn out of the river. And then lastly, they both chose life, they both chose love, and they both chose to train or teach their child. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. We take it seriously to teach and train children here at our church. But guys, we only have your children a couple hours a week. We have them about an hour on Sunday morning, And if you come on Wednesday night, bring your kids. We get them for about an hour on Wednesday night. We have about 2 hours a week with your children to teach them the Word of God. How much TV do they watch? I bet you more than 2 hours. How much time do they spend at school? How much time do you spend with them? What I'm trying to say is we need to be sure our children are being taught the Word of God and that they're being taught the right things. It's our responsibility to teach them, to train them. Yes, to love them, but to teach them. This has been written that if you want to raise a delinquent, if you want to raise a delinquent, this is what you do. When your child is an infant, give him everything he wants. This way he'll think the world owes him a living when he grows up. When he picks up swearing and off-color jokes, laugh at him and encourage him. And when he grows up, he'll pick up even cuter phrases. Never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 21 and let him decide for himself. Avoid using the word wrong. It'll give your children a guilt complex. You can condition him to believe later when he's arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Always pick up after him, his books, his shoes, his clothes. Do everything for him so he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility onto others. Let him read all printed matter he gets his hands on and never think of monitoring his TV programs. Sterilize his silverware, but let him feed his mind on garbage. Quarrel frequently in his presence, then he won't be too surprised when his home is broken up later. Satisfy his craving for food, drink, and comfort. Even sensual desires should be gratified. Denial can lead to harmful frustrations. Give your child all the spending money he wants. Don't make him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you did? Always take his side against the neighbors and against the teachers and against the policemen because they're all against him. And when he gets into real trouble, make up excuses for yourself by saying, well, I never could do anything with him. He's just a bad kid. And then prepare yourself for a life of grief. It's our responsibility to be the parent. God called us to be the ones who make the decision. Your children don't need a best friend. They need a mom and a daddy. They need somebody that's willing to set boundaries in their life and make the hard decisions that they won't make and can't make because they're not old enough and they're not mature enough. Train up your child. Teach your children. Acts chapter 7, verse 21-22, and I'm going to close, says, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, this is extraordinary. Moses was given the best education, Egyptian. He was raised as the son of a Pharaoh. He was raised as a prince. He had the finest education. He was given everything. He was mighty in words and deeds because he was taught well. And God needed that in his life because he was raising Moses up to be a statesman. You know the little baby I told you about that was found in the snow? That the mother gave her life for that little baby? You know who that little baby grew up to be? David Lloyd George, one of the most prominent prime ministers of England, one of the greatest statesmen of his day. You don't know that little baby that you're raising up, the call that God has on his life and what God intends to do. Amen? So it's important that we take the responsibility of our kids. The last verse I want to read this morning is out of Hebrews. And I love this verse. Out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. She taught him. She loved him, no doubt. But he made another choice, and I want you to listen to this. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The mother of Moses, the daughter of Pharaoh, taught him well. He was mighty in words and deeds. He had all the wisdom of Egypt. But he had another teacher. Because Jochebed was able to care for him when he was a baby and when he was young. Jochebed took those precious moments. And you know what she taught him? She taught him about God. She taught him about God. And when he got old enough, that teaching that was so embedded in him made him make a choice. The Bible says in Hebrews, he made a choice. And what did he choose? He had all the treasures and pleasures of Egypt at his fingertips. Do you know what he chose? He chose God. He chose God. And the greatest thing, Mama, you will ever do is bring your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That they serve God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Every Mother's Day, we do this, and I need somebody to help me make sure the children's ministry is aware. I'm going to want the kids in here in just a minute. But I want all of our mothers, grandmothers, well, that would make you a mom. So all our moms, I want you to come stand at the front. And I want you to turn and face the congregation. I want to honor you today. I want to honor our ladies. I want to honor our moms. You are so precious.